This is Co-op Radio, 102.7 FM, and it's just 12 o'clock. And you're tuned to Community Radio here in Vancouver. And coming up right now is the Animal Voices Show, and a special treat for today, the Co-op Radio Animal Voices Turkey Chorus is going to kick things off today.
Welcome everyone to Animal Voices, coming to you on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver. Peter Singer is a philosopher and professor of bioethics at Princeton University, and he wrote, "While our society focuses on issues like gay marriage and the use of embryos for research, we are overlooking one of the big moral issues of our day. We should see the purchase and consumption of factory farm products, whether by an individual or any other institution, as a violation of the most basic ethical standards of how we should treat animals and the environment." Peter Singer says, "The numbers speak for themselves. In North America, somewhere between 20 and 40 million birds and mammals are killed for research every year. That might seem like a lot, but it far exceeds the number of animals killed for their fur, let alone the relatively tiny number used in circuses. But 40 million represents less than 2 days' toll in America's slaughterhouses. These slaughterhouses kill about 10 billion animals each year. The overwhelming majority of these animals have spent their entire lives confined inside sheds, never going outdoors for a single hour. Their suffering isn't just for a few hours or days, but for their entire lives. Sows and veal calves are confined in crates too narrow for them even to turn around, let alone walk a few steps. Egg-laying hens are unable to stretch their wings because their cages are too small and too crowded. With nothing to do all day, they become frustrated and attack each other. To prevent losses, producers sear off their beaks with a hot knife, cutting through sensitive nerves." That is the writings of Peter Singer, a philosopher and professor at Princeton University. Yes, you are listening to Animal Voices, coming to you on CFRO Radio, 102.7 FM, your community-free, community-based, and community-sponsored radio station. This program is presented to you by volunteer members of Earth Save Canada, the Animal Defense and Anti-Vivisection Society, and the Vancouver Humane Society. We have a great program for you today. Shortly, we'll be on the line with Anthony Marr, who will update us on some of the issues about the avian flu and whaling in Japan. And we have the great Dana Lyons, singer-songwriter, in the studio to entertain us today. He'll be on in the second half of the program today. And I also have my sister-in-law, Daisy Loskin, and we'll tell a little story about her dogs today. Now, hello, Dana Lyons, and we'll be hearing all about you in the second half.
Good morning, Carl. A pleasure to be here running free with the buffalo in Vancouver this beautiful spring morning.
Beautiful spring morning, run free with the daffodil. Run free with the daffodils. You know, I just thought about how you told me you love daffodils. But you'll have to compose a new song for that. And in the studio today, we have also Alan Jensen in the control room. My name is Carl Loskin, and co-hosts Marge Adams. Marge, over to you.
Well, thank you, Carl. I want to put forth a good news item, and this comes from the Sierra Legal Defense Fund spring newsletter. With only 84 southern resident killer whales left on the planet, the need to protect the orcas living off the coast of BC and Washington State is critical. These orcas are an extended family of whales, many of whom have lived together for decades. Often considered to be among the most intelligent animals in the world, they are also, unfortunately, one of the most endangered, with a population decline of 20% since the early 1990s. Fortunately, the U.S. federal government finally has announced that the southern resident population of orca whales would be listed under the U.S. Endangered Species Act, or ESA. While the transboundary whales were designated as endangered under the Federal Species at Risk Act in Canada in 2001, the U.S. government ruled 2 years ago that endangered species protection for the orcas was unwarranted. The ESA designation is great news, now providing the whales with the strongest available protection on both sides of the border. So I'm very happy to report this item.
Thank you much. And now over to John Pranger, our webmaster. I remind you about our webpage where John posts many of our programs if you've missed all of today or some of today. And our webpage is www.animalvoices.org. It's a great page. Thank you for doing that, John.
Well, thank you for letting me do it, Carl. And I represent the Animal Defense and Anti-Vivisection Society. And if you just put a slash at the end of that website and add ADAV, you'll come to Animal Defense Anti-Vivisection Society. And we campaign mostly for a quick end to animal research because we say that it's cruel to animals and therefore immoral, and it's harmful to human health, being a scientific fraud that misleads medicine and squanders its resources. And we never concede, many people want us to, that animals' research has ever been necessary or ever benefited the human race. On the contrary, it has corrupted morals and made acceptable the tyrannical principle that might makes right and that the end justifies the means. And so it's not surprising that we are seeing today, post 9/11, a great wave of tyrannical legislation out to destroy individualism and personal freedom on the pretext of security. And we have many, many doctors who state this theme over and over. Books have been published, and here is one quote from one doctor who said, "For the medical profession, vivisection or animal research has been a curse and a hindrance instead of an aid towards increasing our knowledge." And so we campaign for an immediate and unconditional end to animal experimentation.
Yes, well, you know, John, there is, and listeners, that we have a wonderful organization in Montreal, NEAVS, and they're stuck together with the New England Anti-Vivisection Society. They're starting a new program. Do you know about that?
Well, I've read the report, and it's if you want to read about yourself, it's at www.releasechimps.org, and it's the New England Anti-Vivisection Society, which is one of the nation's oldest animal protection organizations, and it's headed to Atlanta, Georgia, to kick off Project R&R, meaning Release and Restitution for Chimpanzees in U.S. Labs. It's a national campaign to end the use of chimps in research. As you know, their very existence is threatened, and extinction is very close at hand. And the U.S. is the last remaining large-scale users of chimpanzees in research in the world, and has some 1,300 chimpanzees still incarcerated in their laboratories. So Project Release and Restitution aims to mobilize public support to secure the release of chimpanzees now in labs into permanent sanctuaries. Most chimps in the U.S. labs have been there for decades, and many have been used in multiple experiments. Some of the oldest were captured as infants in Africa, and chimpanzees in captivity can live 50 to 55 years. So imagine the agony of these unfortunate animals. And a recent public survey showed that most Americans are concerned about the harm done to these chimpanzees in labs. Over 70% believe those used in research for more than 10 years should be retired. And of course, the entire project is totally useless because animals are not the same as human beings, and extrapolation from them is both dangerous and useless.
Now, John, the United States or North America here, we're the only country that still uses chimpanzees for research.
Mostly for AIDS research.
Let's just repeat those figures. We still have some 1,300 chimpanzees
in captivity, in captivity
doing research, and we know how you feel about that.
Yes, and it squanders the resources that should be put to much better uses.
That's true. So we should really be experimenting.
We
should be doing directly on humans, because let's just go over that a little bit, explain it a little bit, because we feel that each species is so different, and that you get misleading results
because their metabolisms are different.
We even find that with different races, we're having different results.
And you are not going to mistake anyone in this room for anyone else, because the genetic difference, the genetic makeup, though so very, very close, is still enough to make us very separate. And we share 90% of our genes with mushrooms. So it's a fallible argument to say that 95% of our gene is shared with the mouse, therefore the mouse makes a good model. It's absolutely absurd.
Thank you, John, and for making your views known. We always appreciate it. Well, we have Anthony Marr on the line. Anthony Marr has been on Animal Voices a number of times, and he's a great campaigner. He's has a wonderful webpage, travels all over the world, and makes some very vital issues known. Welcome to Animal Voices, Anthony.
Hello there, Carl. How are you?
Well, what's the latest lineup here? We've got two items here that are hot off the press. Which one would you like to deal first with?
Which one would you?
Well, I think the issue with the Prime Minister of Newfoundland and the seal hunt is really quite stunning.
Okay. The most recent development is that Costco, that's COSTCO, has made a pact with the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, spearheaded in this case by Steve Thompson of Richmond, they pledged that as of March the 1st this year, that they have come to the conclusion to remove all the seal oil capsule products from the shelves across the board, across the land.
Right.
And I personally sent an email to the senior vice president, Mr. Duffy, and asking him whether that's true, and he confirmed it. March the 1st is when they decided it on it, and then they pulled it. And then day before yesterday, the premier of Newfoundland, Danny Williams, publicly threatened Costco of Newfoundland to sort of have a government supported, a government condoned boycott against the company if they do not restock the seal oil products on the shelf.
How legal is that for a prime minister
a politician, let alone a premier, can threaten a boycott against a public company? And secondly, The public company then, rather cowardly, in my opinion, in the face of the bully, which is also a coward, caved in and reneged on their promise to us and restocked seal oil products on the shelves, at least in their Newfoundland store or stores.
So what's your next step of action, Anthony Marr?
Well, we are, and by we, I mean it would include the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society and a lot of like-minded activists and so on. Basically, we are saying that Costco made a very poor business choice to restock that product and break the promise to us, because In doing so, they may have averted a small-scale boycott in Newfoundland, but in doing so, they have just stirred up the beginning of a full-scale boycott across the continent, involving both Canada in its entirety, maybe with the exception of Newfoundland, and the United States. So they have made a very poor choice, and now they're facing a huge boycott, which is in the process of gathering force as we speak.
It actually shows the effectiveness of the campaign that you had. Maybe you can tell us just how that worked. You had and these campaigns, one hears so many of them, but one hears fewer of them that are effective. You rang through to where it really meant something. Tell us why you were so successful in raising this issue.
Number one reason for success, if we can claim it already, is that it is a cooperative effort by a lot of groups, large and small, and in many countries, to collectively boycott Canadian seafood. And that is especially the United States, because the U.S. is the by far the largest customer of seafood products from Canada. And we estimate that the boycott so far has done approximately $150 to $160 million damage to the revenue from seafood products. And
that shows the effectiveness of when it hurts in the pocketbook, they'll listen.
Well, they pretend not to listen. They were trying to sort of, discount the damage by one means or another, saying that, you know, maybe it is because of the Canadian dollar rising in value, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there was no doubt that such a large-scale boycott involving a lot of new restaurant chains and seafood product chains that have signed up for boycotting Canadian seafood from both being stocked and sold and served, there was no way that there was no pinch felt.
Right. Before we go on to the next issue about the whales, which is another success story, maybe you can give us your webpage, which is full of hope.
Thank you. It's hope-care.org. Hope-care.org. And
hope-care.
For Heal Our Planet Earth, and CARE stands for Compassion for Animals Road Expedition.
Now, the whaling thing has been, you've been over to Tapji where you saw the slaughter of dolphins, the mass slaughter, let's call it that, and the ocean was red with blood from these slaughtered animals. They chose the ones that they wanted, the females for breeding and the ones for the circuses, which is what the aquarium is, treating them, to making them do things which they normally wouldn't do in the wild. A sea of blood in this, you saw it there, and of course it also involves the killing of whales in Japan. And you were on our program about a month ago, and you told us how there was whale meat in a company that's associated with Walmart, that the whale meat was freely available. You photographed the signs on the stores that said whale meat, and it was available in, what was the name of the company, Toyu or something like that?
Yes, whale meat is broadly available in Japan, and there were quite a few sort of food chains along the lines of Japanese equivalent of Safeway, or something similar to that, and one of them is Seiyu, that's S-E-I-Y-U, or Seiyu. And Seiyu has about 400 outlets in Japan, and and over 95%, one comprehensive survey has it, carry whale meat for sale. And now whale meat is, there were two things about whale meat and dolphin meat, even worse, is that they're loaded with toxic contaminants such as mercury, which would impact on the brain development or damage the brains of young children and fetuses, and dioxins, which is the most potent carcinogen known to science, and PCBs. Talking about PCBs, the Canadian belugas and the St. Lawrence Seaway are considered to be toxic waste, and and those people wouldn't even touch them without wearing rubber gloves. And there in Japan, number two in spite of the fact that it is widely known and widely published, even by Japanese scientists themselves, that whale meat and dolphin meat is loaded with these things far in excess of Japan's own set limits. For example, mercury, the set limit is 0.4 parts per million, and regularly the test results show more than 20 parts per million, which is more than 50 times the maximum allowable limits. The Japanese government are doing two things. One is pushing whale meat on the general population through markets, and I have seen them with wooden signs saying health food at the whale meat stand in these Seiyu stores. Secondly, Japan is forcing the Japanese children to eat whale meat in the lunch programs, calling it brain enhancers. And all these are highly unethical and very dishonorable, a thing for the Japanese government to do to their own people, deliberately poisoning their own children and general population because of profit for one single industry. Now, there was a recent there was one thing another two things that I want to mention. Number one is what has already been accomplished, is that there was a New Zealand group which put a lot of pressure on a seafood chain called Sea Lord, and also a U.S. group that put similar pressure on a seafood chain here called Gorton's. Both are owned by a Japanese firm called Nisui, N-I-S-S-U-I, and because of the pressure put on these two companies, Nisui has made the decision to depart from their whale meat trade business.
Fabulous.
And also the whaling industry, because Nisui is also a major owner of the Japanese Antarctic whaling fleet, and they are getting off the wagon.
So tell me, why would they're going off? They got these whalers, they're not replacing them, but that of course doesn't mean it's going to be the end of whaling.
No, it doesn't, but it means that private enterprises are beginning to distance themselves away from it.
Right.
And if this is possible, then we have to target Seiyu, and there's a very easy way for us to do that in North America, and it is Seiyu and Walmart are very much intertwined. They share one another's directors. Walmart owns 42% of Seiyu, and five of Walmart's executives sit on the board of directors of Seiyu. In other words, Walmart, based in North America, is powering not just the whale meat trade in Japan, but also driving whaling as an industry. And so it is very easy for us to raise an anti-Walmart, or what I say, anti-Walmart campaign, which I will wage on a five-month road tour throughout the U.S. and Canada, targeting Walmart, among other things. And the other things that I'll be championing, of course, is the Canadian seals and against the Canadian seal hunt.
And, of course, the people in this country are much more sensitive to the whaling issue than the people in Japan, I think. But you met
That's
many
correct.
People there who were also, you know, understanding. You know, we have a full program today. Give us your webpage, and people can tune into what you have, information you have.
Speaking of my webpage, as we speak, I'm in the process of rebuilding it. Even though you like the previous version, I have to update it. And anybody who looked at my website today or yesterday, please look at it again in a couple of weeks, and it'll look completely new.
Give us some of the Sea Shepherd, you have that?
Sea Shepherd is easy, it's just seashepherd.org.
Seashepherd.org, and that's Captain Paul Watson.
The website again is hope-care.org.
Right. Thank you, Anthony Marr, for giving us an update on many of the issues which are so important to our well-being. Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Animal Voices, coming to you on CFRO Radio 102.7 FM in Vancouver. And the great Mahatma Gandhi, he said, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated." And we have a little notice from March.
Yes, thanks, Carl. I would like to invite our listeners to join with the Vancouver Humane Society to help get chickens, hens in particular, out of battery cages. One way you can do that is join in the Fun Run, which is on April the 23rd, and you will be joining the Vancouver Humane Society staff and volunteers in that run, along with Henny, our 5-foot battery hen mascot, and she will be cheering us from the sidelines. If you sign up for the Sun Run, you'll be issued an orange, I believe, shirt by the Vancouver Humane Society. That is another effort to publicize the Chicken Out campaign and get the cages removed and some more civilized method used in raising the chickens. And this unique opportunity will expose thousands of people to our message of compassion for animals, and we hope to have at least 20 runners with the Chicken Out shirts at various points in the crowd. So please look on the website for further information. It's VancouverHumaneSociety.ca.
Dot BC.ca.
Vancouver Humane Society, all one word, .BC.ca. Thanks.
You know, Marge, I never know how you manage to get all this information without being computer literate.
You know, it's all over the
it's
place.
It's always amazing and always so enlightening when you struggle with those email addresses. But you know, we have a great program today. We have Dana Lyons in the studio, and we're going to be with him for the rest of this program. And to start it off, we're going to play a tune and ask Alan Jensen to play Dana Lyons' I Am an Animal. I Am an Animal, Dana Lyons, singer-songwriter, and we'll be talking to him pretty soon.
Beautiful Camp Orcada on Orcas Island. John C., Dana Lyons, and the Endangered Predators. We got any animals out there?
Yeah! I am an animal.
You are an animal.
We both are animals.
We eat like animals.
We dance like animals. We love like animals.
We all are animals.
We all are animals.
The reptiles have some class. They slither about in the grass. They like it when the weather's damp. They party deep in the swamp. They got smooth and shiny scales, long tongues and longer tails. Ooh!
The birds do it all with their beaks. They eat and they clean and they speak. Their wings take them high in the air. And who knows what they do up there? They've got dances that can't be beat. With their feathers and rubber feet. Tweet, tweet. Let's hear some birds out there.
We both are animals.
Yeah.
We eat like animals.
Yeah.
We dance like animals.
Yeah.
We love like animals.
Yeah.
We all are animals.
Yeah. We all are animals.
Yeah.
The insects have some pride. They wear the skeletons outside. They can live anywhere, hot or cold, they do not care. With antennas and many eyes, they eat, reproduce, and they die.
The mammals are a wild bunch. They eat each other for lunch. They got fur as soft as silk. They feed their babies milk. They sing all the latest tunes. At night they howl at the moon.
Yeah!
let's have a howl welcoming back the wild wolf to Washington.
Dig a hole of the scene. The whole world is aquamarine. Some are thin and some are fat. Some of their faces are flat. They take transatlantic trips. They do strange things with their lips. Ew.
I see some fish lips out there. Let's not forget the plants. The plants have so much fun. They don't eat anyone. They just soak up with the sun. They rub the branches in the breeze. The dandelions tickle the trees. Oh,
I am an animal. You are an animal.
We both are animals. We eat like animals.
We dance like animals.
We love like animals.
We all are animals. We all are animals. I am an animal. I am an animal.
What what a big crowd you have there. Dana, you know, there's two, four, six of us in the studio here today.
Got a lot of animals packed in the studio today. It's a little warm in here.
How did you... yeah, summer's coming, spring. And you like, I know you like daffodils. But how did you come about this...
I am a daffodil.
I am an animal. And... the fish lips and all that kind of stuff. you know, do the fish kiss? They do kissy kissy?
Well, you know, that's kind of a personal question, but if you're allowed to talk about that on the air, yeah, of course they do. Well, what else would they do there? It's a big ocean.
It's a big ocean. We don't really know what they do. But we are animals. We belong to species.
We are. I guess that's a kingdom. We're animals. Yep, I'm an animal. That's an animal pride song, and I'm proud to sing an animal pride song here on Animal Voices, a proud animal radio show.
So, Dana, what inspired you to do that?
This song? You
know, yeah.
Well, my buddy John Seed from Australia, he does this workshop called The Council of All Beings. It's a fascinating workshop, and I had never seen anything like it. But when you go into the workshop, you get in a big circle, and everybody gets to be a being. And you could be a living thing, you could be a plant or an animal, you can be a raccoon or a cactus, you can be a rock, you can be water. But everyone is allowed, all beings are allowed in the circle except the humans. And then you go around the circle, and each person each being introduces themselves. I'm a rock. I'm a piece of grass. I'm a sheep. And you say, you testify how the humans are treating you. And it's pretty brutal. It's pretty brutal. I'm like, whoa, this is really embarrassing. I'm glad I'm not a human. And everyone, wait a minute, I am a human. And then everyone goes around and testifies. And then a few brave souls volunteer to be human beings, and then they get in the middle of the circle, and then they have to listen to it. And I was like, whoa, this is kind of intense. And so then I was like, oh, I got to write a song about I am an animal. And then I came up, I was in Jasper, Alberta, on the harmonic convergence that's one of these astrological things. And I woke up and it was snowing in Jasper in August, and I am an animal, the song flowed out. So that's where it came from.
It's you do it by inspiration. And I'm an animal. You know, even in the gigantic Catholic Church, the last Pope, he said that if humans have a soul, surely the lesser brethren should also have a soul. He called them lesser brethren, which we don't quite agree with, but we'll accept it, that if we have a soul, that there's a good chance that they also have a soul.
Of course they do.
And that fits in so well with your song. Now, Dana, we are so fortunate to have you in Vancouver, and you're passing through, and you said, hey, Carl, oh, maybe that fits in to be on Animal Voices. And tell us where you're going.
Tonight I'm going to sing for some dairy farmers out there in Chilliwack. So I'm excited to go sing with them, and
it's their annual banquet.
Yeah, they're having an awards ceremony, and I think they know the tune Cows with Guns, and I get invited to a lot of interesting places with Cows with Guns, and I'm looking forward to visiting my neighbors to the north. I'm from Bellingham, so we're going to go up and sing with them tonight.
No bells there, but tell me, the Cows with Guns. That's a story about a rescue of animals, factory farmed animals, isn't it?
Yes, I do.
Now, that's a bell that should ring through tonight. It's not. There's a serious message there.
Yes, there is.
To the dairy farmers of British Columbia. Maybe just tell us who rescues who there in that song, which you're so famous for.
In Cows with Guns, a great cow guru is born. and goes out, you know, similar to Moses, and liberates the bovines and... And you know, there's just a great bovine revolution. It's all very exciting. So, I did an interview with in a radio station in Queensland, Australia, and there was a rancher on the other end. They interviewed me and this rancher, and he said, "Oh, well, I tell you, when I'm out in the paddock, the field, and that song comes on the radio, I turn it right down. I don't want to give the cows any ideas."
What about the chickens? Weren't they involved too?
Well, you got to hear the song to really know. I mean, there's the chickens are in solidarity with the cows. We are all animals.
We're all animals. That's wonderful. And, we're going to be playing your next song here, because this is totally... Now I want to tell you, tell us about the success of Cows with Guns. I mean, that was a bestseller. It circled the world, didn't it?
It was amazing. In Bellingham, our rock station played it once on the locals only, and then Seattle stations picked it up, and then Vancouver stations picked it up, and then some station in Pittsburgh picked it up, and then they sent it to their buddy in Newcastle, Australia, and then went to number 2 on the country charts in Australia. And in Queensland, it was number 1 on the rock, country, and album charts all at the same time. And then it was top 40 in Ireland for 6 months. So it's been a lot of fun, taking me a lot of interesting places. It's been translated into 6 languages now.
Great. Now, danalyons.com. That's where people can pick it up.
Yes, danalyons.com or cowswithguns.com.
You're not a lion that roars, so let's have the spelling of that.
LYONS.
Dana asks the questions why, and we get the answers. So give us your webpage.
Cowswithguns.com or danalyons.com.
That's a famous tea, isn't it? Lion's tea?
Lion's
tea,
oh yes. Over from the old country.
Well, we're going to go over to Alan Jensen, and we're going to change the mood a little bit here from the big cheers of I'm an Animal to riding the lawn, because it's becoming lawn cutting time again. The dandelions are coming up, and so ride the lawn, Dana Lyons, and over to Alan.
My grandpa was a cowboy, and his pa before him. They rode the range, killed the buffalo, and fought the Indian. But the great herd's on the prairie, and the wild frontier is gone. So to carry on my heritage, I go out and ride the lawn.
ride the long, here on my quarter acre lot, I sing my freedom song. Ride the long, we'll hunt the dandelion down and whack him till he's gone.
My neighbor is a slacker, and he rarely rides the lawn. He says that he likes wildflowers with dew on them at dawn. But the enemy travels quickly when the winds are strong. Next week while he's on vacation, his dandies will be gone.
Ride the long,
ride the long,
ride the long,
ride the long.
Here on my quarter acre lot, I sing my freedom song. Ride the long,
ride the long,
ride the long. We'll hunt the dandelion down and whack him till he's gone.
Ride the long.
The problem with suburbia is you cannot shoot your gun. So how does one kill herds of moles who eat grass just for fun? Well, I've loaded up my arsenal with shells and ammo cans, and under cover of the fireworks, July 4th I'll make my stand.
Ride the long,
ride the long,
ride the long,
ride the long.
Here on my quarter acre lot, I sing my freedom song. Ride the long,
ride the long,
ride the long. We'll hunt the dandelion down and whack him till he's gone.
Ride the long.
My son came home from college, and he criticized my lawn. He said fertilizers, herbicides, and pesticides are wrong. Well, I'll listen to your politics and your weirdo leftist songs, but when you're under my roof, don't you dare speak ill of lawns.
Ride the law,
ride the law,
ride the law,
ride the law.
Here on my quarter acre lot, I sing my freedom song. Ride the law,
ride the law,
ride the law, we'll hunt the dandelion down and whack him till he's gone.
Ride the law.
Yes, and you're listening to Dana Lyons, Ride the Lawn. He has a separate CD on that. And you're listening to Animal Voices, coming to you on 102.7 FM in Vancouver, your community-based and community-sponsored radio station, where you'll hear what you probably won't hear on other radio stations, because we are commercial-free. Commercial-free and free to say without the interference of our sponsors. Our sponsors are good people like you that are listening here today and support Co-op Radio. Dana, we have Dana Lyons in the studio today. Dana, Ride the Lawn, when you look at the CD, it shows a person riding a mini tractor, and he's waving like crazy, and he's riding this big lawn. This is Cowboy?
This is the suburban cowboy that, you know, crisscrosses North America. You know, deep down, we all really want to just be riding the range, and, you know, without, you know, short of having a range to ride, why not ride the lawn?
Kind of Walter Mitty.
free and wild.
Yeah, I love your pieces, Dana. I'm kind of curious, though, if they are offensive to some people. And do you get criticism about the, I mean, a different sense of value, obviously, represented in this particular piece? But there, a lot of what you say is, I would think, rather controversial.
Or sing, I should say, rather than say.
Oh, well, no, I think everyone agrees with me and thinks my songs are great. Especially down in the United States, it's just one big happy family. We achieve consensus on everything, and everyone thinks we should have big lawns and big machines to ride on them. So,
okay, what about the fertilizer companies?
Well, you know, I've been waiting by my phone. I had to turn off my cell phone for this radio show, but I expect a call any minute now to do an advertisement for them. So I hope to make a lot of money off of this.
Well, if the dairy industry can have you at their banquet tonight, it's not just an ordinary meeting, it's their annual banquet tonight, then we'll certainly soon have Monsanto calling Co-op Radio. Dana, there's a serious side to every tune. There's a message which you bring over in a kind and loving way. And that is a very dynamic way of doing it. Politics, religion, and what we do and how we live, they're all interlinked. And you've also become involved. You have another CD, and you speak about, you have a song called RV, which you talk about these gigantic motorhomes that people put on the roads. RV, right?
Speaking of religion and philosophy,
and you're talking about the guy who wants to ride the tractor on his urban lawn. And by the way, I'd always had a secret desire to do that myself.
We can set you up, Carl.
But all of these, we talk in Animal Voices about the incredible wastage of growing all these crops, feeding it to animals, and growing these plants in hothouses, which uses oil. Everything is predicated on the consumption of oil. And you've made a song out of that. And we won't have any accompaniment today. And you're going to sing it. Your guitar's outside the door here. And over to you. And what is this thing about oil? What's the world after?
Oh, I'd go anywhere to fight for oil, be it olive, safflower, crude. For cooking, for cars, take a rocket to the stars for a back rub, romantic rendezvous. In your engine, on your face, or almost any place, a little dab of oil will get you through. Oh, I'd go anywhere to fight for oil, to lubricate the red, white, and blue. If you drive a big V8, it's time to celebrate. They're gonna fight a war for you. To keep gas prices cheap, so when you drive or when you sleep, you can do it in an air-conditioned roof. For driving is your right, so let's get out there and fight. You can read that in the Constitution. I'd go anywhere to fight for oil, to lubricate the red, white, and blue. Here we go now. I'd go anywhere to fight for oil, be it olive, safflower, crude. For cooking, for cars, take a rocket to the stars for a back rub, romantic rendezvous. In your engine, on your face, or almost any place, a little dab of oil will get you through. Oh, I'd go anywhere to fight for oil, to lubricate the red, white, and blue. For a place to attack, why not attack Iraq? They've got coconut and palm oil and crude. They invade invaded Kuwait. So let's not hesitate. We can blow up a country or two. If it's oil or it's Greece, we don't have time for peace. Waging war is what we want to do. Oh, I'd go anywhere to fight for oil, to lubricate the red, white, and blue. One more time now. I'd go anywhere to fight for oil, be it olive, safflower, or crude. For cooking, for cars, take a rocket to the stars for a back rub, romantic rendezvous. In your engine, on your face, or almost any place, a little dab of oil will get you through. Oh, I'd go anywhere to fight for oil. It's gonna be a great fight. Should only take a fortnight to lubricate the red, white, and blue.
Thank you, thank you.
Harry Man's Association.
They're going to recall me at any time. I know it.
And a medal. Definitely a medal for you, too. So, Dana, the Chevron's going to call soon.
My phone's
going to change.
Your phone. Anyway, so everything's interlinked, and together with the animals, and we're part of this gigantic animal kingdom, I firmly believe that, and that we need to treat the animals with the same compassion and kindness as we expect to be treated by our fellow humans. And that brings me to Dr. Jane Goodall and the wonderful CD that Dana Lyons did with Dr. Jane Goodall. It's called Circle the World. And maybe just give us a little insight of your relationship with Dr. Jane Goodall, the chimpanzees and the stories, and that wonderful CD that you did with her.
Yes, one of the great honors of my life is to have a CD with Dr. Jane Goodall, who, of course, is the chimpanzee lady, as she's affectionately known around the world. And I met Jane Goodall through a song that was turned into a book called The Tree, and I met her at a chimposium in Ellensburg, Washington. And she was kind and generous enough to write a little blurb for that book. But later on, I saw her speak. I was singing before her in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and she gave this wonderful talk about a project she's working on with the United Nations. And on September 21st is the United Nations World Peace Day, and Kofi Annan had made her a United Nations Messenger of Peace, and she takes that honor very seriously. And she learned about this World Peace Day on September 21st, and she had never heard of it. And she said, oh, well, this is a very important day. We need to have some kind of a celebration that people of all ages can take part in all around the world. And she came up with the idea of flying these giant peace dove puppets, like 25-foot wingspan, made out of old bed sheets and chicken wire and sticks, materials that are you can find in virtually every country in the world, even the poorest. And she was giving this talk, and she said, and someday there will be so many people marching with giant peace dove puppets on World Peace Day that you'll be able to see a ring of white around the Earth from space via satellite. And I was just like, whoa, that is so huge. And well, I did a little math, and I realized, that's entirely possible. Like, I've camped out on the top of the Great Wall in China, and that's about 25 feet wide, and you can see the Great Wall from outer space via satellite. And I was like, okay, well, if you had enough millions of people, so I went to her afterwards. I said, hey, Jane, that's entirely doable. And she goes, oh, of course it's doable, and we're going to do it. And she said, and we need a song. Will you write us a song? And I said, well, I'll try. And my next little songwriting break, I wrote the song Circle the World, and it became an album.
Over to Alan Jensen, and we'll have Dana Lyons singing Circle the World with love.
What if we could circle the world, flying peace doves beneath the sun? Giant 20-foot wings of fabric that are handmade by everyone. Once a year we circle the world, saying, ain't it time to bury the guns? Our time has come, and we have begun to circle the world. It's a dream and it's a vision. It's a prayer that we may see. When every person, every creature will be treated with dignity. When every war will be a memory we never shall repeat. Our time has come and we have begun to circle the world. What if we could circle the world, flying peace doves beneath the sun? Giant 20-foot wings of fabric that are handmade by everyone. Once a year we circle the world, saying, ain't it time to bury the guns? Our time has come and we have begun to circle the world. It's a parade and it's a party, giant puppets with many drums. It's a song with many rhythms that is sung in many tongues. It's a giant snake dance in every country beneath the sun. Our time has come and we have begun to circle the world. What if we could circle the world, flying peace doves beneath the sun? Giant 20-foot wings of fabric that are handmade by everyone. Once a year we circle the world, saying, ain't it time to bury the guns? Our time has come and we have begun to circle the world. Our time has come and we have begun to circle the world.
Thank you, Dana, and our time has come. We have exactly 2 minutes left over here, and we'd like to remind our listeners that many of Dana Lyons' CDs, you can go to the webpage cowswithguns.com, www.cowswithguns.com, and just give us a little parting note here. Dana Lyons, thank you for being on Animal Voices. And
oh, thanks.
We just love everything you do.
Thank you, Carl. Really a joy to be here, and thanks for speaking out for the animals on Animal Voices.
And you will be at the Animal Voices Film Festival 3rd and 4th of June.
Yes.
You'll be entertaining the people there, so we look forward to that. And we're having our film festival on 3rd and 4th of June. This is the first announcement of that. I'd like to thank once again my co-host, John Pranger, who speaks out so much for the tortured animals in universities and laboratories. Marge Adams, who hopefully you're going to sign up and walk with Big Henny. Big Henny is 8 feet tall. She's a big hen. And join her and the Sun Run in Vancouver. And our webpage is www.animalvoices.org. And in Animal Voices, our program, we envision a world where the human race will finally make peace with the animal kingdom. Yes, I'd also like to recognize my sister-in-law, Daisy Graham, who's been taking pictures here. And she knows that in Animal Voices, we envision a world where human beings will no longer kill, maim, torture, and exploit fellow beings for food, entertainment, animal experimentation, and or any other purpose. We recognize that animals have fundamental rights, and that these rights include that they be treated with compassion and mercy. And like all of us, animals are capable of suffering, and they are not ours to use for food, clothing, entertainment, experimentation, or any other purpose.